Good morning. I'm going to call the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee to order. First, I'll start with the approval of the agenda. Is there any questions about the agenda? Hearing none. And now the approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting? Mr. Lauby?
Second.
Second by Mr. Augustine. All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed. Thank you very much. This morning's agenda is one that I think is very exciting for us. The Chief Performance Officer, Andrew Burside, will be reviewing Metro's key performance indicators, KPIs, as part of the revised vital signs. And as a result of the General Manager's Back to Good program, 9 of our KPIs met and exceeded expectations, including on-time performance for both bus and rail, and availability of the rail fleet. And I think the work that has been done with Back to Good, the experiences that our customers have had, it's a very good result in terms of reflecting the progress that we've made. And as we start this meeting off and go through the review, I think it's important to reflect on the work of a general manager and his team. Back to Good had its impact in terms of the service delivery. And over the months now, we can see the progress that's been made. The challenge we have is to keep that progress up, but we want to say thank you to the general manager and his staff. The important thing is that also that we've made our reports more reflective of the request from the board. You will see in the feedback that you have here that implementing the additional KPIs, and I think that connects it directly to what we say our oversight is and actually what's being accomplished. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Burnside, and she will go through it. And we are going to go through, try and briefly hit the results and then have questions so that we can all discuss the impact. Thank you.
Also, we have to do vaccine required measures for the pandemic and
happen too well.
If not, okay. Okay. Of 35 miles per hour, and that did reduce our infrastructure availability. The restriction covered about 23 miles of track through the downtown core of the system, and we did that to reduce the train's traction power draw while we analyzed power optimization used to propel the trains. However, since most trains don't travel above 35 miles an hour on these segments, the restrictions had a minimal impact on customer on-time performance. So we have the two metrics for infrastructure. The first is our metro availability metric, and the second one is the FTA's guideway condition metric. So the infrastructure availability metric is a very comprehensive calculation. We've talked about this before. It calculates the percent of track available during operating hours for our customers. It factors in things like duration, distance, severity of the restrictions, and it mirrors the type of measures used by private rail maintenance contractors around the world. No other transit agency that we know uses this. It's more privately used. Looking at that measure, we improved our condition, resulting in 18% fewer inspector-identified speed restrictions during the quarter. And other speed restrictions were resolved within about a day and a half due to the overall track, improved track condition. An average of 27 single tracking events took place each month, most being resolved in less than an hour. So therefore, our track was available 95% of the time during all revenue hours. Looking at the FTA's measure, the fiscal year began with an average of 4.4% of track under speed restriction during the time, which is a snapshot, the first Wednesday of each month. And that equated to about 10 miles of service out of the 239 miles of our system. The new aggressive preventive maintenance and capital programs with longer evening and weekend work hours is going to cut unplanned delays within the next few years. As you know, we've expanded the pilot waterproofing technique on the red line tunnels and continue our regular track inspections to identify and fix our degraded conditions. Totaling 362 incidents, Part 1 crime occurrences were 75 fewer than expected, resulting in a rate of 4.8 crimes per million passengers. That is a 19% decrease compared to the same time last year. This was led by a 25% decrease in crimes against property, a 10% decrease in larcenies, 1% decrease in crimes against persons. Using our CCTV tools and real-time monitoring and sustaining our Fair Vision initiative on rail invest are some key actions that are going to keep reducing crime and reducing assaults on our operators. Aggressive management and cost-cutting actions and controls meant that our budgetary expenses were $43 million under budget. However, our revenues were below budget by $14 million, due primarily to a below-forecast ridership. This led to a 4% operating surplus in total. The capital funds invested met expectations at 18% for the quarter. Investments furthered our back-to-good efforts through the acceptance of our new 7,000 series rail cars, rehabbed elevators and replaced escalators, and our new metro access vehicles and bus maintenance facilities. During the quarter, ridership was 74.7 million passenger trips, and that's 3% below our forecasted ridership in the budget. Overall, rail ridership stabilized at levels consistent with last year. Peak rail ridership is close to pre-SafeTrak levels due in part to improved peak reliability and real estate development. However, off-peak times continue to decline. Overall, for bus, the latest fare increase has injured our bus ridership across lines and times of day, and it has suppressed some of the other effects besides distinct service changes. Metro Access average ridership was consistent with the same time period in FY17. I will note that our Select Pass program is inducing significant ridership and revenue. During the quarter, more Metro Access vehicles arrived on time than last year. With the abatement of our previous driver shortage that we've talked about, a substantial number of newly hired operators now have a learning curve, and that did cause OTP to fall 2 percentage points short of the target of 92%. The award of the Abilities Ride program and additional paratransit service providers will improve reliability going forward. Overall, customer injuries increased slightly from last year with improvements experienced in Metro Access and rail. The increased number of incidents resulted in a rate of 2.0 customer injuries per million passengers. As was discussed recently from our Chief Safety Officer, Mr. Lavin, last month, a primary injury type is bus collision related. And during this time period, we had 3 significant bus collisions that injured nearly 20 passengers. This includes a collision on the X2 in Chinatown. I think that's pictured here. That was a result of a failed ditch cover in a work zone. To enhance safety, we've undertaken numerous additions, including targeted safety messages. We've upgraded lighting in stations and added some optimal boarding location signage. If you traveled through Gallery Place, you may have noted that on the platforms recently. We also continue to use our drive cam tool as to evaluate incidents and coach and train our bus operators. Bus customer satisfaction remains steady at 76% for the quarter, which is statistically unchanged since early 2016. This plateau is consistent despite a slight improvement in bus reliability. On the other hand, rail customer satisfaction improved with the number of customers that perceive Metro is getting better, more than doubling from this time last year. Rail customer satisfaction increased to 74% from 66% the same time last year. The change is attributable primarily to improved rail infrastructure and vehicle reliability. And some key actions to continue to improve those things, I already discussed many of them, but that includes sustaining our improvements in bus on-time performance with our active management of our headway managed lines, also improving station management and making the stations cleaner and brighter. Those are factors that are important to customers. I did receive a question as to why a target is not shown on customer satisfaction. Although I think there's a little bit of gray here on the slide which should have been removed, but previously we set targets for all of our KPIs, and the legacy target that's been used for customer satisfaction is 85%. That's been in place for a number of years. It measures perceptions, and we can impact to some extent those perceptions by achieving tangible, measurable results that I've been talking about. But given that we've consistently not been able to achieve the legacy target for customer satisfaction, we're evaluating a more realistic approach and reaching out to our peers, and so we will be reconsidering how to measure that and what our targets should be. Okay, so that takes us to the end, but we did receive yesterday some questions from DDOT that I will address, as well as Mr. Leader, and I'll start with a question that we received about vacancies. So although it's not on the slide, we do have in our data table, which is on page 42, information about our vacancy rates, and the question was our critical vacancy rate and how we plan to bring it down. So our operations critical vacancy rate of 13% has increased about 3% from last year due to one factor is that we've added additional positions to what we call critical, and that's 102 positions have been added within rail services in the COO support area. So the departments that currently have the highest overall vacancy rates are the Office of Safety, Capital Planning, and Program Management, and Rail Services. Another question that we had is whether management is how management is dealing with the spike in bus operator vacancies. And we're trying to keep the pipeline full with aggressive recruiting and training classes. And some other actions that we're taking is we're bringing back some retired bus operators as temporary part-time employees to provide shuttle service to support rail. We're realigning and supplementing the recruiting staff in order to enable the elevated applicant volume to achieve and sustain the buses hiring a target for each month. We're exploring contract services to augment and sustain the required contract candidate pipeline. We've waived some internal hiring and onboarding process cutoffs for student bus operators to enable maximum incoming classes. A dedicated team of trained interviewers to sustain the required increase in interview volume, and expanding our sourcing and testing initiatives that include engagement of strategic partners, emails, TV, social media, radio, recruitment campaigns, and so on. So the other questions were regarding the 7000 series and the 7000 series cars. Did you want to address those? Okay.
Sure. There was a question regarding the 7000 series not meeting their 20,000 target. I could say in the last few months where they were has significantly increased. A lot of that has to do with open engineering items. As you get new cars in and you have premature failures, it has to go through a redesign phase. Both parties have to agree on the redesign. So we are working diligently with Kawasaki to get these open engineering items solved, and then we go through a testing phase, and then we approve it, and then we will out, you know, the entire fleet will get the new equipment. We meet with the staff is meeting with them regularly. I meet with Kawasaki twice a month, and actually Kawasaki comes down to meet with myself and the GM once a month. So we are constantly staying on top of Kawasaki and looking forward. I would say there's probably 10 open engineering items. Once they resolve them, we'll probably see a huge significant increase in the MDBD and the MDBF. But we continually to work with Kawasaki and their vendors to solve these issues. We'll take any questions. What was the second question?
The second question was also in the data tables on page 37. We have information about rail car loading statistics, and the question was why is that not in the same reporting time frame as the rest of the report? So right now we only have results through May 2017. The reason for that is that we used to collect that information in a very manual and time-intensive way using people with clipboards and such. And it was not very efficient, so we've been under development of a new model that will help us estimate rail car crowding using a computer. It's just not available yet, so that's why we only have information through May of 2017 on crowding.
Absolutely. I mean, that target for the 20,000 is a difficult target. That is a target, any failure, it doesn't even have to cause a delay. Any failure goes against them. So we find something in the yard, even before the train leaves the yard, it goes against, you know, that criteria. It's a very tough target. It's actually a very high target. You look at where we were as an overall fleet back in, 2016, we were barely around 5,000. So to see that we're up around 16,000 with the 7,000 series cars is just a huge leap. And I think as we start to solve all these engineering issues, we're going to see that go through the 20,000 target level, and it will also improve the MDBD. And you've seen that. I mean, we were probably around 90,000 with the 7,000 series, and we're pushing that envelope right now.
Madam Chairman, what Andrea was just talking about, it's on page 38 of the document that we all got about crowding, rail crowding. Madam Chairman, it seems to me that in keeping with the spirit of Mr. LaHood's report, which I don't want to get into,
we should
rename this vital sign rail loading. With that change, it would make clear that the committee is concerned with both instances of crowding which exceed our board adopted policies and guidelines, as well as instances where ridership is not meeting the minimum desired loading level. It's important that we have concern for operating the system in an efficient manner and report rail loading versus just rail crowding to provide a better measure. I'm not proposing that we cut service, but I think we could recognize time periods and locations of lower ridership and develop actions to encourage ridership where we have underutilized capacity. And also, it could help us with our six-car trains, or eight-car trains, to both reduce crowding at times and improve loading at other times. So if you look at page 38, you can see where our optimum passenger per car is 100, and with a minimum of 80, passengers or customers, and some of the data, I know Andrea said we only have through May, but we could see where we're under or over in a better way if we looked at this vital sign differently. be happy to get your feedback at the next time we look at this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Bolger. And I think it does kind of reflect us what we really are trying to measure, and not just the same crowding. What should be the maximization that we should be utilizing? So to ask staff to come back with that. Mr. Lobby.
Thank you very much. I don't want to talk about the LaHood report either, but I want to, you know, congratulate you, because I've been on the board for a year and a half, and the question I get most often is Washington Metro safe, and is Washington Metro reliable? And I've been waiting for this kind of report for quite a while, because it shows that Metro's turning the corner and coming back. And this isn't a Dean's List performance, but it's certainly first honors, and I want to congratulate you for the hard work. And now it's time to get the word out that Metro is coming back. We need to pass the word in the media and other places and bring those customers that abandoned the system before back to Metro. But this is a very encouraging report, and I'm very happy to see it. Thank you.
Mr. Augustine.
Thank you, Chair Hudgens. From a process standpoint, the questions that came from DDOT, I mean, were they available when you met with the jurisdictions and talked through those things? I'm just trying to understand why they came to this committee and were discussed now.
I'll just say I just got back from California about 1 o'clock in the morning on a peer review. So the questions came in yesterday. I'll have to investigate. We did the best we could to just answer.
Okay. Yeah. I just know that we all have limited time and questions that come from the board, and we all have staff that are in support. And I just wouldn't want to actually start setting a precedent of having questions that are coming from the various, which we all have, becoming a part of this conversation. I just wouldn't want to do that. I just want to also say that, I'm, as you all know, because I've shared this with you, I'm just very excited about this report. The way that it's structured, I think that it does a very good job of telling us where we're doing well and where we still have work to do, but it does so in a clear way. I'm very excited about the customer satisfaction number, particularly on the rail side, and that I'm very, very hopeful, like my colleague, Mr. Lowby, said, that we can now start to turn that corner and start talking to people about giving us another shot, give us another chance, and that trailing ridership number should come along as we keep those critical numbers going. So I'm just very, very excited and optimistic about it, and appreciative of the work that that everyone has done. Because this is obviously the full spectrum of the folks at Metro. That goes from the people who are in the stations, in the kiosks, the station managers, everyone from there up to and through the management. So congratulations on that. We still have obviously significant work to do, but it is important that we do share with folks that these things are happening positively, that on time is happening positively, and that we want people to give us another chance. So thank you so much for that.
Any other questions? Mr. Dorsey.
So just a quick comment about the customer satisfaction data, and appreciate that you're trying to figure out what's the appropriate target to use moving forward. But Ms. Burnside, you described the bus customer satisfaction data as essentially being flat, but noted the improvement in rail. And, you know, we're talking about roughly the same percentage difference from the first quarter of 16. Is there a reason why you view is it sample size issues on bus and rail that give you greater confidence that rail is moving in the right direction versus not being concerned that bus is moving ever so slightly in the wrong direction?
I would say it's kind of more from a statistical point of view, and it's the opinion of the folks in the customer research group who do that. That it's, even though, like, if you look at the results numerically, they may look close from a statistical point of view, we can get more information on how they arrived at that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's useful. I think if we're going to tout the improvements in rail, which I think we should, because I think that's real and certainly vibes very well with what I experience riding the rails daily and what I hear from riders, I think we also ought to not be, not frightened, but we want to be vigilant in making sure that there's no real erosion happening on the bus side and not just dismiss it as a statistical anomaly.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no other questions, I have to say, I'm sorry, didn't see you.
I'm sorry, I let the members go first.
Thank you.
Go right ahead. In one of your early slides, the one on Metrorail customer one-time performance, you show the high level of performance above the target, and you attribute it to realistic rail schedules and fewer rail car delays. Are the fewer rail car delays primarily a result of the introduction of the 7,000 rail cars, or were there other programs that management undertook that also contributed to the reduction in rail car delays?
It's a combination of a few things. It's retiring the fleet that was our troubled, our 1Ks and our 4Ks. It was the program we put in place for our legacy fleet, working on problematic areas, propulsion and braking and doors. And, it, of course, it was the performance of the 7Ks that's helping improve the fleet reliability.
Should we expect as more 7,000 Ks come into the fleet and the 3,000 or 4,000 are out, that delays will continue to go down, or have we reached a plateau where we're sort of at the sweet spot?
I don't think we've reached a plateau. I think the biggest thing is just staying on target, is it becoming consistent. I think you'll probably see the measure go up as the performance of the 7Ks increase, but you have to realize we'll still have for 5 years the 2s in the 3,000 series, and then for another 20 years we'll have the 6,000 series, so we'll have to stay on top of those you know, three different car classes to ensure as that legacy fleet gets older that it doesn't draw down the rest of the fleet or the performance. So it's a common use, constantly working at different issues.
I guess what I'm looking for is where is the sweet spot that we could expect? Is it 90%, 95%? I assume you're not going to say you can have 100% on-time performance, but that there's always some level of delay in the system.
I would rather go the other way. I would rather look at MDBD. My goal would be to push MDBD over 100,000. That would be my goal, you know, for the overall fleet, instead of looking at where we are percentage-wise on all flows and delays. So I would rather see that KPI go up first. You know, I think that's easier to measure.
And just for the benefit of the present public, what the acronym stands for?
It means distance between delays.
Thank you.
And that's an interesting one, because at some point in time, we're always going to be balancing this. Don't want to give the perception that it's always going to be on time, on time, on time. They're the best of natural ones, but which ones should we really measure for? Well, that goes to the presentation today, because I think the measurements that have been set have been really very good for us. And I think the one measurement that we've moved into or looking at moving into the budget cycle really also gives us an opportunity to think about what our investments should be doing, how we're performing, how we're measuring that too. So I want to thank staff again and the general manager for the work we've done. And I agree with comments that we've had that it's the publicity that we need to share with our folks. They have felt the pain. So now that they felt the pain, we hope that they can see what gain we could have. Thank you. If no other comments, we consider it adjourned.